May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. It takes place just after Jesus has fed multitudes who gathered to hear him teach. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came, walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith.
why do you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and wisdom and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This week, my heart has been heavy with news of the wildfires in Maui, particularly the one that caused so much destruction in Lahaina. As we begin today, I want to acknowledge the need to be in prayer and support with the people who live there. It's difficult to imagine the scale of loss for a small community who lost so many people and yet have so much to discover about the scope of the damage. We think, of course, of our sibling congregation there. The building was completely destroyed and the parsonage as well. The pastor there lifts up words of hope, reminding us always that the church is not its buildings, and of the resilience and power of community to come together, of Christ-like hope to hold us. And so I encourage you to be in prayer with the people of Maui, those who've been displaced by this fire, those who've lost so much, those who are there to be of assistance. The district superintendent of the United Methodist Church in the Hawaii district is Tom Choi, who's known by some of you who've been here for a while. He was an associate pastor here at Westwood in years past. I pray for Tom and his leadership, for the pastor crew of the Lahaina Church, and for all others, that they would be leaders that might give support and care, and that we might give support and care to them. I want to invite you, if you would like to make a contribution to assist in relief efforts there, to do that through the church. There are other organizations doing this as well. The church has a beautiful ability to use the networks and communities we already have in place to make sure that not only in the immediate moment aid gets to people who need it, but for the long rebuilding that happens. So know that you can give to the church. Mark your donation if it's a physical one for either Maui or Hawaii, and we'll get it to the right place. If you give it online, there's an option there that lets you direct your gift that way. Thinking of the devastation of a firestorm reminds us that our gospel is one that speaks to us not in moments of protection and safety, but in the midst of the fullness of the difficulty of living, in the reality of the storm and the struggle, on the choppy waters late into the night, is where Jesus appears to his disciples walking on water. That image of the vulnerability of that boat, of the uncertainty of the wind and the waves, and of Jesus' appearance there is one that I treasure as a reminder that it's in these moments of uncertainty and challenge, whether they be personal or communal, that our God speaks a word to us. And I love the words that Jesus speaks as he encounters the disciples there in that boat long into the night amidst the wind and the waves. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Of course, Jesus didn't speak in English. These are translations. Maybe you learned them translated a different way into English. Take courage, take heart. The King James Version does something like be cheerful, which I think is less satisfying. Take heart. Jesus says, it is I, he says, which is a powerful word, but misses the connection I imagine was implied in the Greek rendering of this phrase that would remind us of the God who spoke out of a burning bush to Moses, saying, I am. When Jesus says, it is I, here amidst the wind and the waves, He's reminding the disciples and us 2,000 years later that he is the I am. And then he says, do not be afraid, a phrase repeated often in our gospel texts, a reminder that our God is a God who calls us to set down fear, to not be ruled by our own sense of vulnerability, by our own uncertainty and felt need for self-protection, but with a bold courage that makes all things possible. Take heart, Jesus says, I am. Jesus says, do not be afraid. This is a message I need to hear again and again, whether it's as I read devastating accounts of a disaster in a place that I remember as a place of restoration and joy and beauty, like Maui, or whether it's as I face the realities of the challenges of life, as loved ones face illness and disease and deal with mortality and frailty, or if it's as we as the people of God reckon with the reality of a changing climate, as we worry about the wildfire on Maui being just one manifestation of a changed planet where storms are stronger and droughts last longer and familiar patterns are destabilized, where life is more vulnerable and things are uncertain looking forward, where too often the devastation is experienced by the people least responsible for the changes to our global climate. In the midst of these storms, I hear Jesus' voice again. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. The invitation of the gospel is to be a people who begin not with fear, not stirred up even by a good preacher who likes to make people afraid to point them in a good direction. Our beginning point is not fear, but a hopefulness, because our story is a story of resurrection, a story that reminds us of a life that comes out of even death. Our story is a story of a God who welcomes and draws together people across all diversities, Jews and Greeks, as Paul writes in the Roman text today. Ours is a story meant not just for an inside crew, but for the whole of the human family, the whole of our global planet. So today, again, I remind you of these gracious words that Jesus speaks in the midst of the wind and the waves there that night on the sea. Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Living toward the vision that God has for beloved community will require us to take great courage, to remember that God is the I am, and not to be afraid. I know later this morning, some of you will gather in our adult education class to discuss the movie Oppenheimer. It seemed like a good occasion to share an insight and story I read, written by Sister Rosalie Bertel, who was both Catholic nun and scientist, an activist against the proliferation of nuclear weapons. She tells a story that took place in Japan after the end of World War II, when U.S. military personnel were occupying a part of Mount Fuji that was sacred in their tradition. She tells a story of these courageous old women who would regularly pop up in front of the weapons aimed there, positioned there, stationed there by the military, and say to those soldiers, "You should be ashamed of yourselves. Go home to your mothers." The courage of old women to engage the reality of militarism, the presence of weapons in a place sacred to them, not with physical force, but with an unexpected, fearless reminder of our common humanity. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Go home to your mothers. As Rosalie tells the story, she says that the soldiers there were, in fact, destabilized by the presence of these women and eventually left that particular post on that sacred mountain. The courage to interrupt the cycles of oppression and death, fear and weaponry in this world, these interruptions require great courage, and they come not with overwhelming physical force, but courageous human presence, like those women on Mount Fuji. It comes from us as believers who claim faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, whose salvation saves us from our fear and allows us to be people who participate hopefully, joyously, in a different way. Rosalie concludes the article that I read with these words. She says, "Religion has a profound effect on our staying power. In spite of natural timidity, I have always felt invincible before hostile forces precisely because I've been redeemed. This means that I have all the power I need to face down evil. I have the power, therefore, to choose life under any circumstance. Life is stronger than death, and we surely need to understand that redemption means that we're freed from the attraction and power of evil. Free to choose life-giving options and life-enhancing goals, evil will not triumph unless we waste this power that we have." She writes about the gospel is giving us this kind of courage to choose a different way, to stand up in the face of evil, not at the headquarters of evil, but at any outpost that's here in front of us, at any place where we move through the world, to speak up with a word of compassion for someone who's experiencing brokenness here in this world, to speak up for nonviolence in the midst of someone who's under physical threat, to speak up a word of hope for someone who's living in despair, to speak up on behalf of justice in the midst of the pervasive evils of racism and sexism that persist in our world around us. It's the courage to speak up a word of hope in the midst of a changing climate and do something in our power, to advocate with a voice that harnesses our collective power to choose a different way forward. The invitation of the gospel is to have this kind of courage, the kind of courage that Jesus offered as a blessing in the midst of the storm. Really, both the gospel text that we have today from Matthew and the message from Paul in the book of Romans, both of these texts are ones that I see as texts that take place in the middle of what's going on, in the meantime, between the world as it was and the world as it's becoming in God. Jesus comes to the disciples on that choppy sea in the middle of the night, in the midst of his adult ministry, before he's gone to death on a cross and experienced resurrection through the power of God. And Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome as they're waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of Christ. As a community, a minority community that has claimed this gospel and brought people together across diversities, Jews and Greeks, male and female, slave and free, have come together in this young church, but it hasn't all been fulfilled. The promise hasn't all come true. Jesus hasn't come again to set things aright. And so Paul writes to the church in Rome a word of hope about the power of the gospel, about its faith that changes us. Again and again, he asks them to have faith in their heart. I think it's helpful to remember that in the ancient Near East, in the culture and communities that Paul and Jesus and the church in Rome belonged to, the heart was not, as it is today, primarily understood as a seat of emotions. Emotions were imagined onto your guts. The heart was the seat of will and intellect, the seat of your self, insofar as self is a thing. The heart is then the center of your being. It's the locus of your choice, of your identity and belonging and what you do. So when Paul says again and again to have faith in our hearts, he's not, well, I don't know, I always think of Napoleon Dynamite, who just said, like, follow your heart. And this isn't what Paul's saying. As he invites us to have faith in our heart, he's inviting to give our full selves, our whole selves, our living to God in faith. To use ourselves for the embodiment of the promise of hope that comes through our gospel. And that's really the call of the gospel, to use ourselves, to put ourselves into the faith, to use our lives for the living out of hope, to practice in tiny moments and over the span of our lives in big and complete ways, a different set of priorities that always put at the center hope, not despair, forgiveness, not a grudge, grace and mercy, not retribution, justice, not oppression, and joy. The invitation of the gospel is to embody these things, to live a different way, a way that's full of life and possibility and hope, not ignorant of the challenges we face, but knowing them, choosing still another way. And we do so knowing that Jesus shows up for us now today in the middle of that night on that choppy water as he appeared to the disciples in the boat. And Jesus says to us again and again and again, take heart, I am, do not be afraid. Today and in every day to come, may you be people who have the courage to make that choice, to take heart, to believe in the possibility that you have of embodying hope and compassion and love and justice, the capacity you have to be a source of life and forgiveness and mercy and joy in the midst of a world that knows the devastating reality of wildfires, the pervasive power of inequality and prejudice, the reality of our human frailty and vulnerability. Still, we take heart. We claim courage, and we give ourselves and our lives for the working out of life and justice and grace and joy. I invite you to make those choices this day and every day. May it be so. Amen.